The scripture reading before the lesson will be John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. John 17, 20 through 23. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 103, or you can follow along in the little brochure. John 17, 20 through 23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
Really appreciate your presence this morning. And the title of this lesson, if you haven't read the bulletin, is it's called The Right Church with a question mark. And there is much confusion in the world. Things are happening that aren't supposed to happen or shouldn't happen in the eyes of God. The election that is mercifully ending shows some of that. You know, we're making a choice as who is best or who is least destructive to our country. And there are, yes, I suppose part of it could be maybe the end of the world is coming because my Cubs finally won a World Series. And really, the most interesting thing about the last few days following that was someone put a thing on Facebook saying, with a mean Cub look from one of their uniforms, saying, "To all of those who made promises to God at the ninth inning of the seventh game, services start at 10:45. And I laughed about that, and I said, you know, I wonder how many people on both sides are doing that. I don't know. And what does it matter to our salvation who wins the World Series? And I know that no one in my family believes this, and I say, I realize that following God is way more important than who wins the World Series. And even it's more important than whether Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump occupy the White House. Because the Lord has picked who he's going to put in there. And we have to realize that there is a purpose to everything. There are several religions out in the world. Thousands of Christian denominations. While studying up on this lesson, I read this article by some denominational fellow who was in favor of denominations, saying it was a wonderful thing, but he was estimating there was something about 6,500 denominations in the world now. And I'm thinking, that's rather impressive. You know, I was thinking, well, how do I do a lesson against every denomination? I don't think I have 6,500 Sundays left in me. And I haven't done the math to figure out how many years I would have to live to do that. And you know what? If I managed to live that long, those of us who would be still alive would probably be sick to death and saying, well, this old guy died now. But some say denominations are good, and others say they are seeds of confusion that are sown by Satan and his unwitting followers. And a question was put to me, well, which church is right? That's a fair question. How can we know? And this is a complicated issue to me, and I'm not going to promise that I can solve this problem in everyone's hearts, but rather make you think about what does it take to be in the right church. All kinds of denominations claim to follow Jesus. The denominations all claim to be valid. Have you ever ran into someone saying, you know, someone's going to try to sell you a product and saying, my product is awful? It will shorten your life. It will take away all happiness from you. And it'll give you bad breath too. Would you buy it? No church is going to say, we are going to give you the way to hell. Unless you're like in the church of Satan, you think hell is good. Some say it's okay to join any other, and they'll say, well, we're all trying to get to the same place. That's a common saying, and there are ways to check if a church is right. And the first one we have to ask ourselves, are they following the word? What word is this? Matthew 15, chapter and verse 1, it reads, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother that it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this thing, the saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. In other words, Jesus in those last two verses is talking about adding to his word or presenting his teachings in a fraudulent or adding to these things. If the plant was not planted by God, it's going to be rooted up like you would the weeds in your garden. And in Colossians 2, verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. See, the Bible doesn't teach anything else. Doesn't teach many faiths. Doesn't teach that there are all these different denominations. Only one is right. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, in verses 1 through 6, you may have read this before, and I think it is a worthy. It's Ephesians 4, my apologies, I misread my own handwriting. Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of this vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, which is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 4, it says specifically that there's this one body. There is only one group that constitutes the body of Christ. And we are with the one Spirit. We have the only one hope. It talks about there is one Lord. There is only one faith, only one baptism. And that puts us on the spot to follow that one faith and determine what is that one faith. 6,500 faiths are out there. And they're dividing like the cells do in a body. We have to ask ourselves, what do we do with our salvation? You know, in Philippians, the second chapter, you know, it talks about that, you know. It says in verse 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what? On judgment day, you are ultimately responsible for your own salvation. If you say, well, someone else led me away, God is not going to say, well, okay, go to heaven, and then the person who led you away is going to hell. No, you both go. Unless that other person's repented and done the right things to get to heaven. The term one faith, we have only the word of God to go by. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He doesn't say, if you love me, keep my commandments and a tract that some uninspired man wrote. Yet there are people putting their souls in jeopardy every day who are doing just that. Following something else. The commandments are here in the book you have. The Bible. Bible means book. So it's not to say it's biblical. It could be all kinds of things. But to be biblical as far as the inspired word of God. You have to ask ourselves, if we have these commandments, does the church that you're following, that you're attending, that you're a member of, do they follow the scriptures? Are you looking for that one church? 2 Peter 3:13, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The scriptures are looked to for salvation. And if we do that, we risk our own destruction. So, who's right? And I know there are some are saying, well, tell me why the Church of Christ is the right church. If we follow the scriptures, we do the things that are right, we are in a Church of Christ. It's not as men would have it, saying, well, you've created a denomination. You have your name on the wall and or on the outside, on the mailbox, saying Church of Christ. So therefore, that's what you're saying that you are. It's different than saying you're Methodist or you're Unitarian or Catholic. Although Catholic means universal church. I've told Catholics, I said, we're more Catholic than you are because we actually follow the teachings of the universal church. Oh, that doesn't make them happy, believe me. But I did that lesson a few years ago about my now former niece-in-law. And when we ask ourselves who is right, Sheila found this little poem that was written by a gospel preacher who was a relative of mine. And the title is The Right Church. And I don't usually read poems, but I found it an interesting microcosm of what some Christians look at. It reads, "At last I found the proper church. I've looked from night till morn. It was not listed with denoms, nor classed with the reforms. The Church of Christ, in letters plain, was printed o'er the door. The Lord provided them the name they needed, nothing more. The building was of simple style. I really felt at ease to walk at will down either aisle and sit where'er I pleased. The preacher spoke how God's own Son, in sorrow, pain, and grief, had prayed that we might all be one in practice and belief. That Christ must sit on David's throne, for this he lived and died. This was fulfilled on Pentecost, as had been prophesied. The Jewish law had been fulfilled, the priesthood had been changed. The law of God was now our creed, as God had prearranged. The church, the kingdom of the Lord, the body, house, or fold, are one, the same. All books record by prophets young and old. Christ did not borrow from the Jews, nor copy pagan Rome. He built the way to God anew and stamped it as his own. He finished all within his day, then rose in power and name. We dare not add nor take away if we with him shall reign. If we with Christ expect to dwell in that eternal home, we must forsake all human creeds, believe, obey his own." This same author, when he was an old man, was asked to speak at some congregation that had had like 50 or 100 years, which is, you know, congregations going that long is impressive. Well, he was old and not able to travel anymore, so he sent his son, and they said, "What is the message from this preacher?" And he said, "Teach the truth. That's all you need to do. Teach the truth and follow it." So what does the right church do? As we established, they follow the word of God, the Bible. In worship, a church that is right is going to follow the acts of worship as authorized by the word of God. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse 17, it talks about that we sing. It's not the only place that refers to it. It's also in Colossians 3. But in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse 17, it says, "Wherefore be you not..." In verse 17 it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Also in the Colossian letter in chapter 3 and in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." In verse 19 of Ephesians 5, it talks about to do it in your heart. The heart is your instrument. You pluck it. Your heart is what you're looking at. You're listening to the song. You are playing it and making melody. You're looking at the lessons and putting it in your heart. We pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Do we sing in our worship? Do we pray in our worship? Do we teach? Do we preach? Acts 20th chapter and verse 7, it says, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." There was preaching going on the first day of the week. And also Acts 20 and verse 7 gives the only example of when the disciples came together to take the Lord's Supper, to break bread as it is worded. We follow this biblical example when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We also give as we are prospered. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it says, "Indeed, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And the attitude we have, well, I know I quote it, or at least paraphrase it, when I lead songs and it's time to have the giving. I'll refer to 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, saying, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." You see, the right church follows these acts of worship. The right church also follows the plan of salvation per the Word of God. We have that plan of salvation. This is not the end of the lesson. I know that's usually when we do this. But we hear the Word. In Romans, the 10th chapter, we see this. You know, what does it say? You know, it talks about, how shall they preach? Whosoever believeth on him. You know, it talks about confession. In verse 8 it says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. "That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then whom shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing. You have to hear the word. And you have to do something about it. Okay, I've heard the word, I've listened, now what? You believe it. You know, Mark 16, 16, "He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And to repent. Acts 2:38, you know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter has preached that first gospel sermon, and they hear in their own language all these people who are gathered for the day of Pentecost, the feast. And they say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they hear that they are guilty of killing the Messiah. And Peter says in verse 38 of Acts 2, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We see that they are told to repent and to be baptized. Of course, we have the confession. We read that in Romans 10 just a few minutes ago. And also in Acts, the 8th chapter, we have the Ethiopian eunuch who, when he saw there was water, he says, "What does hinder me to be baptized?" And what does Philip say? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, and he gives the great confession of confessions, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He has confessed and he is baptized. Going down in the water, both of them, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. We just read that in Mark 16, 16. In Revelation, the 2nd chapter, in verse 10, it is talking about what to do afterwards. What do you do after you're baptized? You just sit back and say, "I'm saved, I don't have to do anything else"? It says in verse 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." And in our acts of worship and the way we live our life, we do not add, we do not take away from the Word of God. Yes, we have Galatians 6 and 1 talking about those who teach another Jesus shall be accursed. Revelation 22 talks about not adding to or taking away from the words of the prophecy of the book, or they shall have the curse. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 is one I don't usually quote, but I like it. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. That means we have to study, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So which one of these denominations, of these 6,500 denominations, can say that they follow these things? And there are different names that are biblical, you know, Church of Christ, Church of God, you know, Church of the Son, you know. Are we in what is the church that is Christ's? I can put a sign on the door saying Church of Christ and be every bit as much a child of the devil if I don't follow what Christ taught. But in my experience, the ones that seem to me to come closest to following the Word of God usually have that sign on their door. It's not just that simple to say which church itself in man's eyes, because men look at it and say, how can you possibly be perfect? It's following the church that Jesus made, not Alexander and Thomas Campbell, not Martin Luther, not those that say the Bishop of Rome has the keys to heaven and was given to him by Peter. Yes, we have the example in Romans 16, 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. What we have to tell ourselves is this: there is only one true church. And it's not the building. It is where you stand. Yes, if you follow the word of God, you will have a home in heaven because you are in the church of Christ. That's our lesson. There's been an invitation song selected. The invitation applies to you in any fashion. Please come forward, make your wants known while we stand and while we sing.